Next on News for the Soul, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Please welcome Janessa and SJ back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul family. I'm Janessa Finley Ford. I'm going to be your host here this evening, and I have a special guest joining me. But if you're new to the world here, let me quickly introduce myself. I'm an empowerment coach. I use energy psychology, mindset alignment, and also functional medicine. And I guide leaders, healers, and high achievers to turn their obstacles into opportunities, their trials into triumphs, and I really help them master the art of being human. I have joining me today Mr. Tom Springer. He is such a kind and gentle soul, and I am so very honored to have him join me tonight. He is the host of the live stream called Stuff I Never Learned from a School Book, and he also has his own podcast called Stuff I Never Learned, which is really interesting to me. I immediately want to jump into that, sir. How can you talk about something you never learned if you never learned it? Semantics, I know. Maybe we'll get into it. Maybe we'll just leave it out there to let people contemplate. And these two spaces have really transformed into a place of congregation for all aspects of life's lessons, strange and odd things. Tom is the Midwest director for the Paranormal Existence Research Society, which is a free service for people who believe that they may have something, such as paranormal activity, going on in their private residences. He is the founder and owner of the Sixth Sense Investigations, where he and his wife do local investigations of known and untapped places. So that local investigation area is Eastern Nebraska, Western Iowa, and maybe beyond. He can clarify about that, but just so you don't have a whole bunch of people inquiring with where in the world are you, because we do have international listeners, just wanted to narrow that down a little bit. So Tom, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Janessa. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully y'all can hear
You're
me okay.
So yes, super clear. Very clear.
Perfect.
So jump the show off with some humor. What you got
all
for
right.
us? It's the middle of the week. We need a light moment.
Okay. Well, my name is Tom Springer, and luckily you can't see me, but for those of you who want to know a little something, I have a beautiful, wonderful Viking-looking beard. And Janessa mentioned the fact that I am a paranormal investigator, psychic medium, some other abilities. And I thought I'd let you know how I kind of started out, what got me into this field. And it started out, I am very new to this, so I'll let people know right now, I'm 52 years old, and I did not come into my abilities, my gifts, whatever you want to call them, until I was 49. So I'm a very late bloomer when it came into this. And the way it came about was I went on my very first investigation with a couple of friends who invited me on. And while we're at the location, I see a full apparition walk into the room. And there's a handful of other people with us, and there's another psychic and another medium, a couple of them with us. And the lady walks into the room that I can see, and she starts talking to me. I start talking back. I'm not rude. And they start going, well, who are you talking to? What are you talking to? And I said, well, I'm talking to this lady right here that is a full apparition standing in front of me. And they were like, well, we can see her, why can you? And I'm like, I don't know, you tell me, I'm the novice here. And they went, how long have you been able to do this? And I went, about 10 seconds. And they were like, oh, so this is gonna be new for you. So the whole investigation was basically me trying to figure out what I knew and what they could help me with in this very short amount of time of trying to stay. It was an overnight location. And there were some things that I saw that I didn't understand, so they had to explain it to me. And it was just very odd for me to kind of start off that way. And that was my coming into my abilities. And it was very, to me, it was very funny because I've kind of seen everything all over the world. And that was something very new to me. And it felt very familiar to me. I wasn't surprised by it at all. So it was kind of the way everything took off for me at that point.
So was this your first paranormal anything that you had ever done? Or were you interested in the paranormal investigation world, and then you showed up, and it was just like coming in hot, I'm seeing things, and things are now happening?
I went to a couple of places that they said were haunted. Me and my wife just kind of went, but I had no interest in the paranormal, really. I was just going because we were going with a couple of friends. But this one investigation was, hey, we're going to actually go for an overnight investigation for 2 nights, 3 days. Come with us, see what an investigation is like, and just kind of hang out with us. And that, it happened right at that point. So that was out of the blue, not expected. I was not expecting anything to happen. No one else was expecting anything to happen, except for maybe the people who already did this for all their lives. That they can see and they can hear and everything else. So it really just, I tell people it hit me like I was drinking from a fire hose with as much as I was taking in, as much as we were finding out that I learned or that I knew how to do.
Very interesting. I shared with you that I really appreciate the similarity because so many people that are in my sphere remember having experiences in childhood or, you know, early in life. Like you, I felt like I was a really grown adult before my intuition and my sensory abilities really kicked in. That too came later in life for me. I'm happy that I can say that by the time, unless I die in the next couple of years, I will live more of my life with those senses than not.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate having that common thread and having that shared experience where, you know, you live the opening up process versus just coming in and this is normal life, because there is something about that opening up process that it can be very scary and fearful for some people. And it sounds like that really wasn't the case for you.
No, I don't know. I'm just not afraid of anything. It was very, it's when it happened, it felt like very normal. And it almost felt like it was something that was supposed to happen. And it just finally decided to happen. And a lot of people that I talk to now that have been living their lives like this, they tell me the reason it seems so natural is because, if you believe in past lives, then they tell me that my past lives, I've been doing this in all of my past lives. So that's why it feels so natural. It was just a very late coming into this life with it, because it wasn't my turn yet until right now.
It's so interesting. What is your own personal opinion about divine timing like that? What you just said about it wasn't your time until now versus charting our own path and our own course and being at cause for what we experience in life?
Good question. I am really of two thought processes on this. Everyone will tell me that I've talked to that has these beliefs and has these abilities that our soul signed a contract to come into this world, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. We signed on to do this in this lifetime here. So everything was kind of already etched in stone for us, and this is the path we're supposed to take. So my awakening this late was supposed to happen. Now, I'm not 100% on board with that, simply because I have had inklings. Now I can look back and go, I've had inklings of when I had these abilities, but I never understood them or didn't accept them at that point. So I honestly think that maybe it was my decision on when my abilities were going to awaken. I think I had to be in the right mindset. I think if I was younger, I wouldn't have accepted them, or I wouldn't have dealt with them as well as I do now that I'm an adult. So I believe that although I may have signed on for this in this form, in this time of my life, or in this lifetime, I think the time of my life was my decision, because I think I may have suppressed it on purpose and allowed it to come in what I did when I was actually on an investigation with friends for them to experience as well and everything else, rather than just having it open and me not knowing what to do, who to turn to, or anything else when I was younger.
Very interesting. So I know this isn't necessarily a paranormal topic, but I have to ask this question and dive into this a bit more. So you made the statement so boldly and so centered within your energy that you just don't fear anything. And I think that's a reality that not a lot of people share with you. So I'm curious, like, you've never been afraid of anything? Or is this like your current posture? And if it's just the current posture, how did you transform into that?
You know, I cannot tell you the last time I have been afraid of something. I just can't. It's not in my memory banks. I've always used the term, and you're going to yell at me because I'm going to use words that you don't appreciate, but I always tell people, I have no fear because I'm too dumb to know any better. And it really is that thought process with me, because I don't have a fear of dying. I don't have a fear of any kind of animals. I don't have a fear of any kind of bugs. I don't have a fear of falling out of an airplane. I don't have any fear. And it transfers over when I go on investigations. I don't have fear of coming across anything dangerous or evil or anything else. I'm just not that person. I'm too alpha male. It's bad to say, but when it comes to the paranormal spiritual side, I really do feel like I am very much in control of who I am, and I'm very invulnerable would probably be the best way to, because I know what my armor is. I know what my protection is. I know what everything is. And even coming through, because I'm prior military, even coming through the military, I was never afraid. I just wasn't. I was always in the moment. I always knew how to process the moment, but I was never afraid in the moment. And I can't tell you, I can't think back and tell you a time I was afraid.
I think that's so beautiful of the alignment of your divine nature, right? Because that's really the spirit we're all given. Our spirit is given to not have fear. And obviously there's just the duality of the world we live in. So the majority of people do experience some fear along the way. But when we are really aligned in our spiritual nature, there isn't fear that exists there. So anyone who, you know, even simply meditates, they can experience that space without fear. So it's not just a figment of our imagination. And that's a beautiful demonstration that you give for people of how you are able, how we all have the capacity to be aligned, to live in that nature, our true nature, and not be consumed by fear.
Yeah, I don't fear doesn't live in me because I don't see a point for it. It just takes up space. That's not how I operate.
Yeah, it's like worry. Worry doesn't have any productive outcome whatsoever. It's like you're spending your energy in something with no return whatsoever.
Yep.
So how did you walk us through getting started in paranormal investigations to doing the things that you're doing now, getting into peers, getting into launching your own investigations with your wife?
Sure. I was invited onto an investigation, and that's when I started understanding that I was able to see things, and I was able to feel things, and I was able to hear things, and I was able to do things. And my abilities started developing very fast over the first couple of months. I mean, like I tell people, it's like drinking from a fire hose. It was that overwhelming that I had to start accepting that, and I was naive enough to think that now that I had my abilities, everybody had the same abilities. That is false. I learned that rapidly. And I took it even one step further when I started seeing elementals, where I started being able to talk to people in other dimensions. I thought everybody could do that, and I was told, no, these are things that you can do that other people can't do. Why are you able to do them? And I'm like, I don't know. Apparently, this is something I've known for eons. But since I didn't have answers, I decided to start investigating more. The team I was with, we left them, and it was amicable, but we decided to start our own team to kind of allow us to work with other teams to see how they investigated. Because right now we were kind of stuck, or I don't really want to say stuck, but we were only learning from one group. But we know other groups have different dynamics of how they work together and how they investigate, and we wanted to learn those other ways. So we started our own teams. We could start learning from the others as well. So that way, when we investigated on our own, we had some aspect of what we were doing better than just one way. And so we kind of took that to heart. We have investigated with a handful of other teams, and we've done some investigations on our own. It's really helped us develop who we are now, but it also allowed me to continue to grow my abilities and trust them and not need other people's approval or turn to them to say, hey, am I doing this right? Or am I hearing this right? Or am I feeling this right? I didn't need basically their approval anymore for what I was doing. And because I was doing everything kind of on my own, that's where I came up with my StreamYard called Stuff I Never Learned from a School Book, because I designed it to have a place where other people were like me who didn't have a group to talk to, or they were afraid to come out of the woodwork because they were afraid they were going to be shamed into being a freak or whatever else, or they just wanted to hear someone talk. So I designed the page so people can come to, so we can have a like community, so we can start talking to each other and help each other figure out what we were doing good and what we were doing wrong, in a sense, if there is any right or wrong. But sometimes if you do things wrong, it can go sideways. So yeah, you kind of learn that the hard way. But it was good to start building a community where we could all kind of join together and start talking to each other. And then I started bringing in people who have been doing it for a while to help also give us advice. And that's where the page started from, and that's where my investigative side came from.
So you talked about seeing elementals. Oh, my goodness. Words are hard sometimes. Anyway, can you explain more of what you perceive specifically when you're seeing elementals? The apparition you kind of explained, but anything else that is your gift? Can you kind of break down what you're actually perceiving, what that looks like to you?
So for the elementals, I am talking about actual things coming from the environment, the earth, the water, the wind, and the fire. And I see them, hear them, and talk to them just like I do you right now. They respond to me, I respond to them, but they do not really have a sense of right or wrong. They're designed to do one thing and one thing only. Like the earth elementals is designed only to help heal the earth. That's it. If we think what that earth elemental is doing is wrong, that earth elemental does not care. They do not have a sense of right or wrong. They only have a sense of purpose. And so that's what their purpose is. And all the other elementals work the same way. I can hold conversations with them. If they want to talk, they will. Because of the fact that I can see, hear everything else with them, they do have a tendency to respond back to me because not everyone can. And they're like people. To the point, not that they have that same sense of right or wrong or that consciousness, but they're like people that they all come in different shapes and sizes. They don't all look like giant rock people if you're talking about the earth elementals. So you have very small ones and you have large ones that are the size of mountains. And you have wind elementals who are simply a breeze that you feel when you're sitting out underneath a tree. And you also have the ones that are causing the hurricanes and the typhoons. Those are part of air elementals or water elementals doing their jobs. They're cleansing is basically what they're doing, or they're healing, or they're taking care of what they believe needs to be healed within the earth. So that's how I see them and can resonate with them. If you're looking at a area of just, let's say, flatland or rocky areas, whatever else, they're going to look like the rock people. But when you get into areas that are forested, you're going to see them like they look like they're trees or tree-like. So they don't have their own, not all of them will look exactly alike. They literally have their own, like, ethnicities like we do whenever you go around the world to look at them.
Is it absolutely impossible to not desire to get in alignment with nature when you're able to communicate with the elementals in that way, and you know that their purpose is to, like, cleanse and heal the earth, and to see how far we might be just a smidge not doing great things for our earth all the time?
Yeah. I'll tell you that I actually got asked to go speak with something at someone's house, and they didn't know what it was. They thought it was actually a spirit that was haunting them. And I ended up going to this location, and as soon as I walked in, I said, oh, this is an elemental. And what happened is the house had been flipped before this girl moved in by a past owner, but they had destroyed the basement. They had turned up the earth, they'd done everything else, but they left it for dead. And so this elemental was down there working. That was his purpose, was to try to heal the ground. But he felt so gargantuan, so humongous, that it was giving her anxiety. She could feel the presence of it, but she didn't know what it was. And it was making her very anxious. And when I went down there, there was myself and about four or five other people that went down to the basement. Half the basement was concreted. And then if you walk through a doorway, the rest of it was dirt. And that's where the furnace sat and the water heater and everything else sat was back on the dirt part. When I walked towards the door, I told everyone else to stop. I said, do not walk in here with me because I don't know what's about to happen. And I walked in and I saw the earth elemental, and he ran from me. And I was like, why are you running from me? And he said, because your essence is older than I am. And I went, how old are you? And he goes, I am 15,000 years old. So it gave me an understanding of how old my background of my soul was when he told me, your essence is older than I am. And I had to talk to him, and he did not want to talk. Now, again, elementals should not be aware or conscious of stuff like that. But apparently he was threatened enough by me. And I call it a he because that's how I saw it. Was it he? They did not really have a sex, but that's how I saw it. And the name it gave me, to me, resonated as a male name. But as I was talking to it, it was trying to get me out of the room. And it actually ended up throwing rocks at me. The people in the room next to me saw all these rocks come flying out of the room. And they were like, what just happened? And I went, he just threw rocks at me to try to get me out of here, trying to intimidate me and get me to leave because he was trying to fix the ground and I was invading his space. So I had to explain to it that the person who lived here now was not going to damage the ground. They actually live on a farm. She's trying to help the ground and everything else. So once it had that understanding, now the girl who lives there told me everything is very peaceful. It's very calming. The elemental likes the fact that she plays music because she can actually play the guitar, the bass, the piano, and the harp. So she plays, and the elemental likes it. Because it's very soothing. But she did have to go down and give offerings, like take down wheat and take down rice and take down tobacco and stuff like that to identify that she was not going to try to hurt it or take it out of its element, so to speak, but allow it to do what it was doing. So in a way, I guess I'm kind of trying to help allow it to do what it's supposed to do and not hurt the earth or hurt anything. But I'm trying to help it understand what we're doing and help us understand what it's doing. So kind of the mediator in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bridging the gap between the spirit and the physical. What about the spirits, like apparitions that you encounter that are more of what we would identify as people versus elementals? Within the paranormal investigations? What is the intent with that? Is it to get them to cross the veil and move on along in their soul's journey? Is it to create, bridge the gap again and create more of a peace that we have people, humans, like this 3D version of us also occupying a space with the spirit? What's the intention when you're doing that type of work?
Right. It depends on what team you're with. My sole purpose, well, it depends on what role I'm filling. If I am filling a role as part of the Paranormal Existence Research Society, or the PERS, my goal is to assist in private homes that feel that they have something there, and to either help identify what it is and to see if we can remove it, if it needs to be removed, help them live copacetically together, if that's something that's possible, or just to help identify, period. And if it's something that's beyond my ability, then I have a huge monster team of like 20 other people I can reach out to that's for help. But I'll give you an example if you don't mind. We had someone who had called into PERS and said that he was being haunted by numerous ghosts, different demons. And after, it's going to make a very long story short, after identifying everything that was going on, I had to help him understand it wasn't a ghost or a spirit, it was him. And he had gotten off of his medication, and he was very paranoid, and he was schizophrenic, so we had to get him back on the right drugs, because the spirits or the ghosts in his head were telling him, you're not eating right, you need to dress better, you need to do stuff like that. So that's one example of what we did. But when you're talking about the spirit itself, what you're asking, my goal is to simply make sure I understand the story that the spirit has to tell correctly and tell its story correctly. There are a lot of teams that go out there that will help move them on. If you're religious and you're supposed to move on to heaven and you're supposed to go towards the white light, whatever else, then that is something that other teams that I have been a part of or that I've seen do. But for me, myself, my job is to identify the true story of that spirit and help tell its real story. And I can tell you about that really quick, is we went to a location, an unidentified location. And the story was, there was this crazy short lady who ran up and down the hallways, threw her arms all over the place, and she seemed to have blood and mud all down the front of her dress. And she would chase people around. And I went to this location, and I can sense her, but I couldn't tell who she was yet. There was another medium with us, and she went ahead and said, hey, follow where I'm telling you to go, and I ended up going to this room. And after everything was said and done, the crazy lady who everyone was talking about turned out to be a 14-year-old deaf girl who couldn't speak. And her and a ward, basically someone who was taking care of her, had learned their own special sign language. And that's what she was trying to do, was to sign. And what turned out to be blood and mud on the front of her dress turned out to be chocolate, because he would feed her chocolate secretly. And she would throw the wrappers out the window and he would go collect them. And once we identified, there was a little girl and her name was Lucy. She was a 14-year-old girl, beautiful blonde hair. She showed her to myself once we figured out who it was, in her full form, how she should look. But that's some of the stuff that we have to break through, is identifying, taking away these stories and identifying the truth. And that was one of them that I'm really proud I was able to do, because for years it was, people were saying, it's a crazy lady, she's gonna come after you. It wasn't. It was a little girl who was scared. Apparently I looked like the ward that helped take care of her. That's why she trusted me to come talk to her and to help tell her story. And by talk to her, I was literally able to understand what she was signing at the time. So it's almost like I did have that connection with her, because I was able to tell what she was saying.
That's so radical and cool. I love how things always align, you know, that it wasn't another team. It wasn't some other people with different intentions. That, you know, you were the one that showed up and was able to bridge that gap and help in that way. It's really cool. I do want to know about the science and the tools you use, but before we get into that, you had mentioned earlier about when things go wrong, or when things are wrong in the process, it can go sideways.
Yeah.
Do tell.
All right. I will regale you with the story, boys and girls. Sit back, story time. I was at a location with an investigation team, and one of the role I was playing at this point was a protector. Now, I hold a lot of different abilities that I can do. I'm a healer. I'm a protector. I can sense it. I can talk to it. I can do whatever. I was at a location, and one of the mediums we had was sitting next to me, and she was not supposed to go under. She was just supposed to be awake like I was, and she was supposed to look around and kind of control the environment and pay attention to what was going on. And she was supposed to sense what I was supposed to protect. She ended up not by choice being put under, and she got jumped by something. And when we got her, her eyes were open, but her eyes were completely black. They really looked like the solid black that you see when someone is possessed in some way, shape, or form, and that's what she looked like. And she started looking around, and she was cussing at people. She was cussing at my wife. She was calling people names. She was threatening us. She was saying she was going to kill us. There's all these different things. And then I have always been told that I am one of the more powerful ones. So when more dangerous stuff comes along, they will challenge me to see what kind of level of strength I am. And she said, I want to challenge you. But she wasn't looking my direction. She was looking at someone else. And that person goes, me? And she turned and looked at me dead in my eyes, and she goes, no, you. Well, again, too dumb to know any better, not afraid. So I grabbed the lady's arm, and I said, well, come on, let's dance. Come on. And so I felt it leave the lady, and it came into my arm and started coming up and came into my shoulder, and at my shoulder I trapped it. So now I had this entity in me, and I had trapped it so it couldn't get into my chest area, because that's where your heart is. Can't let it get to there. So I had it trapped in my arm, and then I took it outside, and I shoved my fingers into the ground, and I forced it into the ground to release it into earth. So it was out of the house, it was out of the person, and it was out of me. But then the lady who got jumped got taken outside, and she was violently, she was puking up the black bile that you always hear about on TV and everything else and stuff like that. She was literally doing that. Well, then I had to switch modes from protector to healer, and when she finally got done being sick, I have what I call the John Coffey capability from the Green Mile. I gave her a hug, and I held on to her with intent, and I can feel her, like, almost hyperventilating, and she started to calm down. And then she took a huge breath, and her shoulders dropped, and I continued to hold her, and her shoulders dropped again. And once I get that second drop, I know you're good. Because what's happening is I'm taking whatever is left inside of you and replacing it with positive, strong healing energy, and I'm putting whatever is negative into you, and it's actually sticking to what I call my armor. So it's not coming into my body, but it's literally sticking to my armor that protects me. And then once I let go of you, it dissipates into the air like it never existed. So that was one of the situations we had that went sideways, and I had to kind of turn a couple of my roles and say, okay, I'm protector, now I'm healer, take out what's wrong with her. And then she was fine. She was like, what did you do to me? Why do I feel so good? And I was like, that's one of my abilities I learned I had, so it was kind of cool. But, yeah, stuff does go sideways if you don't protect yourself correctly or if you are just unaware.
Yeah. When I started perceiving things, one of the first times I was on vacation, I was on a hike. And I, you know, wasn't expecting any of this, but we were in Utah. Yeah, it was Utah. And whatever old civilization, like, we had hiked to see some of the, you know, their little homes that were built in rocks, literally, back in the day. And we were leaving that hike, and we walked through this area, which it just seemed like you were on top of a big rock, but it was really a cliff. Like, when you turned around and looked out, you were looking out over this huge canyon. But when we walked through that area, the air was so cold. And the, you know, just the, for me, my my senses is the knowingness. Like, I don't see, and I'm
right.
grateful that I don't see. I think that's why I don't see, because I'm like, I'm good. Let me just perceive the 3D reality. I don't see, like, the apparitions, but I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is absolutely where they sacrifice people. And I just, the goosebumps, like, all of this, the sensing in my body immediately just went off, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, get me out of here. This place is not for me.
Yeah.
And then I helped cleanse a building. And so power in numbers, definitely want to talk about that, because we took 3 people into that space, which worked mm-hmm. out just fine. I think there was room to probably have 5 people, but 3 people worked. And in that building, and I wasn't the only one that got this perception, believe someone had been hung in, like, the atrium, we'll just call it. And,
right.
like, all of the vibes were so creepy. And then going down to the basement was, like, the worst of the worst in that building. And, in fact, the dog that I have now currently, she's very tuned in. And she's been present with a lot of different healing that I've facilitated for people when I started out and had her present. And just the stories of the animals is amazing. Like, what she's done, when she's done it, how does she know? It's just, animals are so cool,
yeah.
right? But I took her with us for that building clearing, and she would not go in the basement. She's like, absolutely for sure not happening. It was so creepy, so creepy. So it's interesting to think about the history. I have no idea what the history of that building was. Didn't have access to figure it out. But also very real, even though who knows when it happened, but when you sense it, when you feel it, it is
right.
so profoundly real in the here and now.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. We had to do a, well, we didn't have to, but we, when I was with one of the teams, we came across a little girl who had been separated from her mother. Her mother had already passed on and had gone to light, but the little girl hadn't, and she was afraid to. And there was a team, we were pretty much a full team at that point, 6 or 7 people, and we were being told that there was a man that was trapping the little girl there, separating her from her mother. And we identified who the man was. We identified where the girl was. And when you're talking about strength in numbers, this was one that was required, because the rest of the team literally had to talk to the girl and explained to her that it was okay to go to the light. The man couldn't hold her anymore. And the way we knew this was because I was not letting the man into the room. I was literally standing at the doorway, and he was beating me on my back. I could feel him hitting me on my back. And I'm like, you can do that all you want. You ain't coming through this doorway to get to this girl. And it took us half hour to an hour to finally get her to understand that she can walk towards that light. That was her mom at the top of the stairs. She can go. The man wasn't going to pull her back and everything else. And that was one that we had to use the numbers we had in order to do what we needed to do for this little girl. So she actually moved on. And then by that time, the man had beat my back up pretty bad. So I turned around to face him. And I was like, all right, now we're face to face and she's gone. Let's dance. And he ran. He didn't like the fact that there was someone that was bigger than he was facing him. He thought we would just run away from him because he was a scary spirit. Again, not afraid. So too dumb to know any better. And he ran from us. But the little girl was able to escape and go to her mother with the help of numerous people that were working in unison to get that to happen.
So what is the philosophy behind the strength of numbers?
For us, we all bring different abilities to the team, and our strengths together for what we can do is stronger than what we can do by ourselves. And it really is, I mean, if you understand the old adages or whatever you want to talk about, that if you have one stick and you can break one stick, but if you stack many sticks together, you can't break them as easily. If they're all just one big ball of, if they're just lined up together, you can't break them because there's many compared to just the one. And you can't break that compared to just the one. And it's a big belief that, for me, that the strength does come in numbers. I'm very much a sports-related person. I'm very much a team player, especially since my military days. I was actually part of a team called the Ugly 13. And we are much stronger together, united, working on the same project, plan, or belief than we are by ourselves. And we've always been able to do that no matter where we've gone as part of a team. Because you can identify more at the same time as well. You have many eyes looking many directions rather than just one set of eyes looking one direction. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of where we are.
All right, let's talk technology. I'm super curious about the tracking, sensing. I don't know any of the lingo, so.
Sure.
That's clearly apparent. But break down for us the science and how you guys are using technology to help guide you.
Okay.
In your investigation.
So we have something that is generally known throughout any community. If you watched it on TV, if you've watched any of the paranormal stuff on TV, we do use this SB7 Spirit Box. And it's all it does is it scans the different wavelengths of we use radio stations, so it's running through all the megahertz stations of all the different stations, and it's allowing spirit to feed off that energy, because it actually feeds off of the energy put out by the field, like an electrical field. That's what it can feed off of to actually talk back. And when it sweeps, you're listening for voices to talk in between that sweeping motion, because it's feeding on those energies, and those certain hertz is where it's able to talk into. So that's when, if you're watching TV or anything else, and you hear those sentences or those couple of words come across, they're speaking across those hertz of what the spirit is able to use as an energy source. They also have we have something called a chattergeist. It's a very small cylinder, round. It looks like a silver dollar, but it's thicker. But it does numerous things. People know what an obelisk is. An obelisk and a chattergeist. Chattergeist is an updated obelisk, but it's something that when you ask a question, it also gives off a force or an energy barrier. And it allows you to see the words that the spirit is trying to say. So rather than hear it, do like you do the SB7 Spirit Box, you're able to see the word come up. And some of them will let you see and hear it at the same time. Like if we're at a location, and for instance, we were at a location before, and I said, hey, we were asking, can you tell us any of our names here? And through the SB7, you would hear someone's name, and then on the obelisk, it would pop up with the exact same name. So they're using the two different energy sources to be able to speak to us. And there's a lot of different ways that allow spirit to see us or to talk to us and communicate with us. There's also a lot of things that people will see them. They're teddy bears. They're just little round. They have lights on them, whatever they want to be. And they have antennas. And the antenna is giving off, again, it's giving off electricity or whatever else. And if we ask a question, a spirit can come up to it and touch it, because it's giving out that energy, and it will make one of the red, yellow, or green lights go off. It lets them flash. So you can ask yes or no questions to something like that. So there's a lot of different ways, and if you can create a huge energy area that allows them to speak, I'm doing this in quotations, folks, because I know you can't see me, but louder, because as much energy as you can push into the room is how much they can use. You'll notice that a lot of people will say, hey, I was recording something. I just put a battery in it, and my battery died instantly. Well, that's because the energy, the being was trying to communicate with you and needed the energy of the battery to communicate with you in one way or the other. So it's pulling that energy in order to allow it to do something. Otherwise, it's just in that ethereal state, and it doesn't have a way to contact us outside of what you see when it knocks, or when you hear it when it knocks, or a lot of people see movement at that corner of their peripheral vision, like a shadow man or something like that. They'll see a blur where something will happen. Whereas if you're talking poltergeist, that's something totally different. That energy is being brought on, normally by someone in the house who is going through anxiety or something else, and that energy is just building up in the place and it causes its own poltergeist. There's not actually something there. You are creating something there to basically what, quote unquote, come to life. So there's a lot of different ways that, spirit can use our energy, the surrounding electrical energy, anything else to help communicate with us if we allow it to.
That's fascinating. And it's all energy. I mean, energy is available to us freely everywhere.
Yep.
So, yeah, scientifically that all really resonates and seems logical. So talk to us about some of the topics that you have on your live stream and your podcast. And maybe you just want to talk about your next upcoming topic, the angels and dragons. But if people tune in, what are they going to usually get coming to your space?
So I have a couple of different things. One is I have my live stream that I do every other week, and that's the one that's called Stuff I Never Learned from a School Book. And that's the one that's on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. All of them have the same name. They're all Stuff I Never Learned. And those are run every 2 weeks, and they're live videos. But they're also going to be recorded. If you want to watch them later, you can, just like your radio show is live right now, but you can also listen to it later. But it runs on, like I said, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And those are my catch-all. That show originally started out, like I said, for like-minded people to come on to that had nowhere to turn to ask for help. But it has now become paranormal, cryptid, UFO, alien. You were on my show last on the 26th of February, if anyone wants to go watch that one, just saying. I've had on numerologists, I've had on astrologists, I've had on anybody who what we would call normal people, think as weird or strange, they come onto my show to talk. And I love that. I have paranormal investigators. I have people that are like me. I have people that are like you. I've had Reiki healers. I've had all kinds of stuff on my live stream. Now, my podcast also falls under the title Stuff I Never Learned, because I don't want to make it too difficult for people. Plus, it's really simple for me, too, to remember to just type in the same thing over and over. Really, it's for me. But it's a podcast that you can find basically anywhere. On Spotify, you can find it on the iTunes. You can find it, I think I'm on 26 different podcast platforms that I'm on. But that is simply me talking to the audience. It's a recorded session, 15, 20 minutes long. And my last one was about the elementals. So if you want to know more about them, it's the one I did last. And the one I have coming up is talking about comparing and contrasting angels and dragons versus the cultures they're in and the beliefs of the cultures they're in, because there's Western society, Eastern European, whatever else, versus Asian and Norse beliefs are all different, but they're listed as different in Western societies and Eastern Europeans, and even in Norse, well, a lot of Norse, they're listed as dragons are bad, angels are good. But if you start paying attention to their colors, what the colors mean, how they transverse against each other, angels and dragons, they actually have the same abilities and they're here for the same reasons. It's just that the different religions have split off to make them look different. But a lot of the times when you look back on the start of it all, they're here for the same thing. The white dragon is purity and light. The white angel is purity and light. The green dragon is a healing. He's nature. He's whatever else light way. Our green angel Raphael is healing, nature, and everything else. So they all tie together. Our blue dragon is the protector. Our blue angel, Archangel Michael, is the protector. So they actually do have a lot of similarities if you read into it enough and not just go off of one belief alone. If you're willing to open up your mind and accept them all and read into it with an open mind, then you find out there's a lot of similarities between that. And that's my next topic that I'm talking about on my podcast, Stuff I Never Learned.
That's fascinating. I don't think I ever made the connection to dragons being negatively perceived, although I also haven't watched a lot of TV or kids shows. So I would venture to guess it's probably something that might even be contextualized within movies and media.
It's also the same way, if I'm okay to go religious a little bit, it's also what's said in the Bible. It talks about the three angels forcing the dragon back down in Revelations 12, chapter 12. It actually talks about the three angels, one of them being Archangel Michael, forcing the dragon, which is also known as the devil or Satan, back down and stop attacking the woman in the sun-colored clothes. So even in the Bible, it talks about the angels being good and the devil and the dragon being evil. So it just depends on where you're seeing it at, where you're hearing it at. And, you know, because in Norse terminology, Thor is good, but the dragon who can wrap himself around the world 9 different times is an evil dragon that Thor has to defeat. So it's good versus evil in a lot of things you read, but until you start getting into the intricacies behind it, the stories, and actually start reading the originalities or the originations of all these things, you see that there are a lot of similarities. They're not just good and evil.
Cool. I'm going to have to catch this episode because clearly I've been living under a rock and I have a lot to learn. So as you mentioned, people can find you Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. So aside from the investigation services that you are a part of, do you have healing services as well? If people wanted to work with you, what would that look like if they reached out to you? What do you offer?
I really haven't delved into that side of it. I do work a lot with people who have problems with their properties. And I've helped clear properties when people feel there's something evil on their properties. And I normally work with another girl on my team to do that. But as far as my healing capabilities, a lot of people just contact me through my Facebook site because I have a Stuff I Never Learned on Facebook, and you can go up there directly and send an email to me. It's stuffineverlearned@gmail.com, and they can request, hey, I need energy. I'm going in for a surgery. Can you help push energy to me? Can you help push healing light to me? I can do that. That's something that I do readily, freely, all the time. There's a lot of people that I'm friends with on Facebook, and they're going through hard times, or they're going through anxiety, they're having surgeries, whatever else. And you always see it when they said, hey, please send us love and light. Well, I literally can't push you energy. That's something I do all the time. I'm like an energizer bunny. I don't run out of energy. It's amazing how that happens. And people seem to get very confused when we're on investigations, that after a 2 or 3 day investigation, they're dog tired and they want to go to sleep. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's keep going. And it seems like my energy is ramped up. And so that's not something I do on a formal basis. But I will never say no if someone asks me for assistance, for healing, or for energy, or for something like that. I'm just not built that way. So it may take me a little bit to get back to you because I don't have my phone on me 24/7, but once I recognize what you need, I will be more than happy to assist.
Very, very cool. Well, it has been a very quick 55 minutes for us here today. I feel like we could have easily chatted much, much longer. I thank you so much for coming and sharing yourself, your world, your gifts, your talents, like your perceptions with all of us. I am sure that many people's minds have been expanded today far outside of what they have experienced in their normal world, if you will. Next week on the show, SJ will be back with me, and we are going to dive into the lovely topic of abandonment, because healing abandonment issues are amazing. So if you are a giver, you give too much, you're a people pleaser, if you deal with jealousy or insecurity or anxiety within your relationships, if you cycle through this pattern of sabotaging relationships or cycling through relationships, like if you're like me, you may have had a 3-year bump or a 3-month bump. There wasn't much in between. If they made it to 3 months, they're probably going to make it to 3 years. There might be some underlying abandonment things running in the background, and we would love for you to join us to learn all about that so you can set yourself free. So join me back here next Wednesday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And until then, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.